Hey guys, welcome to the Lawrence Garden Farm Podcast. Casey here today. I've got some stuff that I think you guys are going to really love for the garden. Today we're going to share our top three favorite flowers to add into our edible raised bed gardens. And then we're also going to talk about our number one favorite wildflower and the benefits it has to draw in beneficial bugs, along with a few other varieties of plants that also draw in beneficial bugs. So I think this whole topic and all these topics will be very beneficial for you in your garden. So I'm gonna get started. One of my number one favorite flowers in the garden are snapdragons. And there's a few different varieties that I really, really like. And the number one variety that I absolutely love is called Liberty. It's a mid-size snapdragon. It's about 20 inches high, so it's nothing super tall. It's not like the other cut flower varieties, but it smells so good and it attracts a lot of great pollinators, especially butterflies. Bees, they always say, sometimes have a problem getting inside and pollinating the flower of a snapdragon, but honestly, I see so many bees around ours and they seem pretty happy. So they do draw on the bees as well. Another favorite of mine are the Madame Butterfly snapdragons. This is a variety that was new for us last year and we seeded these inside of the house and they're actually considered a cut flower snapdragon. And they get about 24 to 36 inches. We did them in the rose and the bronze color last year and they were just absolutely gorgeous. We put them in our cut flower garden and we have two cut flower gardens that were right next to our fire pit. So it really made it look really, really pretty there. And another favorite of ours, oh, one more thing about the Madame Butterfly snapdragons is they actually have a double flower. That's what really drew me to them because they're not just the same old snapdragon flower, which, come on, you can't go wrong with the same old snapdragon flower, but when you double it and make it a double flower, that's just even better, you guys. So the next variety that I really love and that I've been growing for years is the rocket variety. This variety I get from my family's garden center, Wayne's Daughters Greenhouses, and this variety gets 24 to 36 inches. It comes in multicolor. I like the mix, so there's bright, vibrant yellow, kind of like a bronze color, red, a lavender, very, very beautiful. This year, we are actually going to be trying another new variety called the Chantilly series. It's supposed to be very fragrant, and it gets really tall. It can actually get up to 48 inches, so even taller than the Madame Butterfly snapdragons that we tried last year. So we're just going to give them a try and see how they do and go from there. So one of the things that I love about the snapdragons and the Liberty variety of snapdragons is they are so easy to seed save. We saved so many snapdragon seeds last year, so we're actually going to use a lot of our leftover seeds that we saved into some of our flower beds around the new garden area that we've discussed before. It's the kids' little garden oasis, but the kids' garden oasis is also going to be like the fruit garden, but we also want to add a lot of just more natural kind of wildflower looking, even though it won't be all wildflowers, but we're going to do some of our own seeded little patches over there to draw in beneficial bugs and pollinators, which we'll talk about that in a minute. So the next variety of flowers, my next and second favorite flower to add into our edible gardens is the Blue Victoria Salvia. It gets about 18 to 24 inches and it actually is a perennial in zones 8 through 10. And it attracts pollinators and bees are really attracted to blue colors or violets. So the bees love the salvia. And with hummingbirds always prefer more of red, pink, or fuchsia, or even purple colors. And that's where salvia variety Wendy's Wish comes in. It's in a fuchsia color. We tried this last year. It was really pretty, but our absolute favorite, different other than the Blue Victoria, is the Salvia Heatwave Blaze. So that is a red salvia, and I will tell you what, I have never seen a plant so loaded with hummingbirds in my entire life. I planted two containers with the Heatwave Blaze in it. And it was right in the Garden Oasis area where we sit on the little porch there that comes off of the house. And I placed them right before the gardens start. So it's like really in your focal point while you're sitting there. And it was the perfect spot for them because we would just sit there and watch them just like have fun and circle around each other and flap their little wings. And it's cool because then they would fly up and then they would land on our light strands that overhang above our garden area. And they would go up there, they would sit, relax, and they come back down, swoop into the heat wave blaze and really have a lot of fun. So it's pretty cool. And this year we're going to try a new variety called Hot Lips. It's a new variety that my family's garden center will be carrying. So I'm really excited to try that. It's kind of like a pink and white mix. So we'll see what it does with what type of attractors, what's attracted to it most, and kind of see what that does. So our third favorite flower to add into our garden are zinnias. And we have two varieties that are our absolute favorite. Our first favorite variety are the Dreamland zinnias. They're more of a mid-height zinnia, but they still carry a large flower. So that's what's awesome about them. They can get about 12 to 16 inches. And last year we added them into one of our edible gardens and put them in the design of a zigzag. And you can actually see this in one of our videos on the Lawrence Garden Farm YouTube channel. It's called How to Plant a Raised Bed. And we actually show us planting this bed with the Dreamland zinnias in a zigzag shape. And in between the zigzag pattern, we planted different varieties of vegetables. So in between the zigzag, we did two different varieties of onions, cabbage, and two different varieties of peppers, and everything lived in harmony. It was awesome. And this was an area where a lot of butterflies came into the garden, and they just kind of like hung out there and had a garden party, and it was just a lot of fun to really watch that area. So the next variety of zinnias that are one of our absolute favorites that I've grown for a long time, and it's an oldie but a goodie, and this variety is called the State Fair Zinnia variety. It can get about 36 inches. It's great for even cut flowers. When I plant these, I actually pinch the tips off of the plant. I know that you end up not getting a flower as soon as you would if you did not pinch it, but by pinching it, it allows it to bush out right away and create multiple stems, so then that way you end up with multiple flowers. It may bloom a little later, but you're better off for the whole season, so you don't just get like this tall, leggy zinnia, even though they naturally will already kind of bush out a little bit, but it just becomes that much sturdier, and you don't need to do anything to help them stand up. I also plant them very close together in clusters, so that way they kind of all play off of their height and hold each other up. And I also use these next two varieties that get taller or that are more aggressive, such as zucchini or big cherry tomatoes or different varieties of herbs like fennel or lemongrass. Anything that gets pretty tall or extremely large, the State Fair zinnias are really great to plant with those because they don't get overtaken. So another thing that helps keep the State Fair zinnias blossoming is by removing the dead flowers. I think this is kind of obvious, but if you didn't know that, don't feel dumb because, hey, there's so many things to learn when it comes to gardening. It's not a big deal. So stop worrying when it comes to gardening and start enjoying. And remember, if something dies, pull it, put something new in, enjoy gardening, don't stress about it, it's supposed to be fun. And so with the zinnias, they really attract the pollinators, especially butterflies, and monarchs use the flowers as food and as an eggling habitat, which is really cool because they bring in these butterflies, and there's just so much going on in the garden once you start adding flowers into your edible gardens. It becomes like this whole world. It becomes the world of nature, and you start experiencing it in more ways than just one. And that's what we love about gardening, and that's what we love about intermixing flowers. So that concludes the part about our top three favorites, which I'm going to recap again. It's snapdragons, blue Victoria salvia, and zinnias. And if you forgot what varieties I was talking about, go ahead and replay this again. Next, we're moving on to our favorite wildflower. So our favorite wildflower is Queen Anne's lace. It can get 1 to 4 feet. And yes, it comes back. Yes, it can come on strong. So don't go seeding it in a well-manicured garden because it will take over. Make sure you have space where it can grow, but somewhere where it's not going to take over. What we learned really gave our garden the best balance this year was allowing some of our property to just go wild. And luckily, Queen Anne's lace was a big part of this big help because it started just popping up all over. And what was so cool about it was it wasn't just that. There were other, like, you know, weeds, and it looks unmanaged sometimes. But, you know, as soon as Queen Anne's lace comes into blossom, it just really looks gorgeous and dainty and like just this wildflower patch. And what we did in the back 3 acres is we actually created paths in there so we could walk, run, explore, because they attract a lot of beneficial bugs back there. There's always a lot of butterflies and ladybugs and lace wings and all kinds of cool stuff to find. And the kids will bring their butterfly nets, their little bug catchers, and then we'll try to look up things that we've never seen before. And it's just a really great learning habitat for kids as well. I know you guys probably are starting to realize that we do a lot to help the kids learn. But what's funny is, even though I've been gardening my entire life, I'm still learning too. There's things where I'm learning and I'm like, how did I not know this? So my goal is to stop and take the time to help teach my kids the things that, you know, maybe my parents were a little too busy to teach me. And they've taught me a lot of other things. They taught me how to be a good worker, how to be an entrepreneur, and how to be a good human being. So, you know, they did their part. Everybody has their focuses in on things, and ours is to really just teach our kids to, you know, take in the simple things, take in the nature, how to garden, how to do things, and how to be sustainable, and, you know, different things like that. But everyone has their thing. And if you're not into teaching your kids how to garden, hey, it's okay. Everyone has something or another they want to teach their kids. So what I love about Queen Anne's lace is that it smells sweet and it actually is edible. Just watch out because there are ones that are poisonous. I haven't read more into this, but you may want to Google that one. So what I like about it is that it does grow wild. And even though it looks wild, it still looks maintained as well as soon as it starts to blossom. And some people even use their roots in soups and teas. I mean, I've never tried that. I just actually read that and I was like, what? I didn't even know that. And here it was taking over our entire back property and gorgeous. But maybe I'll have to do a little experiment this year. So I do feel though that allowing a section of our property to go wild brought in a lot of beneficial bugs because, like I said already, our garden has never been so balanced. We also allowed our entire waterway that runs along the property to just grow in with tall grasses. And there was a lot of different wildflowers and milkweed and Queen Anne's lace there as well. And it was just really, really nice. So they do attract ladybugs and lace wings, which is really cool. I actually didn't know that they attracted lace wings. I knew they attracted the ladybugs because it was the first year that we've actually seen real ladybugs in a really long time. Living in Wisconsin here, zone 4, southeast Wisconsin, we've experienced a lot of like those little orange beetles. Ugh, and I hate them. I don't know about you guys. You guys hate those too? I feel like I'm talking to you, but no one's responding, so I'm just going to keep going. But I love ladybugs. I used to catch them when I was little, so it was really cool to have that experience for the kids this year as well. And what the beneficial bugs are really attracted to with the Queen Anne's lace is their flower. Their flower is like a big flower, but it's a big flower made up of tiny little clusters of flowers. And it allows the bugs to really be able to get in there into the nectar. So I thought that was really, really cool. So another few plants that attract beneficial bugs are some that we are already growing in our garden, like all of us as gardeners, but you just may not know it. So fennel, dill, and cilantro. These three I'm mentioning because it's something that we already grow. And in order for it to attract beneficial bugs, they have to be seeded out because they want that flower. So this year, what we're going to do, we already do this in our garden, but for us, we're always harvesting before because we all know once it seeds out, it's not producing as much foliage for actual harvesting of the herbs. So what we're going to do this year is, well, except for dill, sorry about that, and fennel, I guess, but cilantro, I like the leaves. So anyways, in one of our gardens this year, we're going to actually put fennel, dill, and cilantro in one of our ground beds that is just like a disaster. It's one of our entry gardens and it really needs a sprucing up, but I want to make it to where it's like another space that we're attracting everything good and wonderful and bringing more nature into the gardens. So we're going to do the fennel, dill, cilantro, and then I also have a lot of leftover seeds of snapdragons. We're going to toss those in the mix, and whatever other flower seeds I have left, we're going to toss those in the mix. We're going to spread down a little bit of some topsoil and garden mixture, which is just topsoil and compost mixed together. Lightly lay it down over top of the garden bed that's already there. It has crummy soil there because there is a big pine tree, but it has hardly any branches. It should really be cut down. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and put all those seeds in there, let them come up, and we're okay with them reseeding because a lot of those herbs, they will reseed. Don't put them into the ground if you don't want them to come back or spread because a lot of them will. As soon as they flower, that's when their seeds are dropping. So that's what the beneficial bugs are really attracted to, is the actual flower in the cluster of flowers. So that, keep that in mind. You know, I mean, some more beneficials for flowers are like cosmos or cone flowers, coreopsis, blanket flower, and several types of sunflowers in, you know, even some of your greens, like our green tower's lettuce. We eat half of it, but then half of it, we let it go to seed. And not only because we love to look at it visually and we can't keep up with eating it, but we also love it to seed out because that also attracts in the beneficial bugs as well. And if you're getting too much produce of lettuce or an herb or beans or peas or whatever, start doing succession seeding. That all that means is to seed some one week, seed some the next week, seed some the next week. So that way you're getting them in intervals and not all at once. And then you'll be able to enjoy them rather than have a lot of stuff go to waste. So after that then, let's see, what else did I want to talk about here? I think that was pretty much it. I think I covered it, you guys. I did this. Today I was like, just thinking, I'm like, you know what? I got to be able to tell everyone what our favorite flowers are and a little bit about beneficial bugs because there have been so many questions rolling in and I wanted to be able to kind of combine them all in one podcast. So I really hope this podcast has helped you with some ideas for flowers. And I know a lot of our flowers are oldies, but goodies, okay? Don't let those oldies pass you by. They're oldies and people keep using them for a reason. It's because they work. We do still grow, you know, about 100 different varieties of flowers throughout our garden. So naming off just three today, just so you know, we're naming off just three of the 100 different varieties of our favorites. So if we're naming three out of that many varieties, you know that we love them. They're true blue. So this will pretty much end our podcast for today. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I know Jason wasn't here with us, so there wasn't a change up of a voice. I hope I wasn't too boring for you guys on your drive or your walk or laying in bed, whatever, sipping coffee. But thank you so much for watching or for listening to the podcast today, The Lawrence Garden Farm. We hope you guys have an amazing week and weekend and stay safe, be healthy. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Jason here.
Casey here. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hope everybody's hanging in there. If you hear a little bit of background noise, of course, we are all home as a family, so the girls are playing together. So
yep, it's recess time.
Bear
right
with
now
us. It's recess.
At home school.
Yep, got the at home schooling going on. Everybody's on lockdown. So, but that's not really what we wanted to talk about today. It maybe comes into play a little bit with what our topic is.
A little, yeah.
But what we're going to talk about today is something that is a huge part of our life. You know, when you look at your life, your career is a huge part of it. Your family is a huge part of it. Well, we've kind of got two careers with with what we've got going on. Years back, I started listening to podcasts when I didn't even really know what a podcast was. I just saw this app on my phone. I clicked on it. I started listening to some things. And one of the podcasts that I listened to was a gentleman speaking about how you can share information on something that you specialize in or something that you know about, and you can actually have a career from that. And there's a lot of different ways, including podcasts now, to put that information out there.
Yeah, that's good information.
Yeah, I remember I was cutting the grass when I was listening to the podcast. And
how long ago was this?
Man.
4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I would say four, maybe five.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a while ago.
So one thing that we want to throw out there right away, this is not an easy thing to do. It's a grind. So we're 5 years in, but 5 years ago, I'm on the rider, I'm listening to this, and I remember I was so excited about this. I hopped off the rider and I came in and I told you, you remember?
Yeah, you're like, hon, you gotta do this. You gotta put out like information on like the gardens and all this stuff. And I'm just like, what? I was like kind of resistant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so at that time too, you hadn't done a Facebook Live, right?
Right.
Okay. So this was right around the time
before Facebook ever even had Live.
Right. This was before Facebook had Live. And then right around the time that Facebook Live came out,
It was the first day
Live. Yeah, was the available. First day Live was available. Casey went to her parents' greenhouse and she made a video on container gardening, how to plant up a container.
Yeah.
And
it surprisingly did amazing.
Yeah, it did. It was so cool. Like, I remember she went there to do it, and I remember like watching on my phone or my computer, one of the two, you know, like the Live, and I was like so excited for her and excited for like everything that could happen with it. And, you know, when you're live, it shows all the people that are watching, and there's people that were commenting, and it was this thing that
it took off. So we continue to do live videos then for quite a while, and this is before we ever started a YouTube channel. And you know, with the lives, I kind of started getting to where it's like I wanted to have a place to keep these videos and have them be better quality, because live videos with our streaming out here, we're kind of in more of like a rural area, and so our internet wasn't always the best, especially then. It's come a long way since then.
But
it was always really like pixelated.
Right. Like if you're going to show a flower, it would be like looking at a flower on the Minecraft game.
Yeah.
If you know what that is, it's just all like boxes and pixels. Look at the beautiful detail of this flower. That just looks like a bunch of red boxes.
It was terrible detail, you know? So, that's when I'm like, you know, I want to start creating something. And, at this time, like, we were kind of going through some things too, not me and Jason, but just overall in life, some life stuff. And we decided to really just start a YouTube channel then. And we decided to start making videos not only on our garden, but also our life. And also with Jason's home industry videos and stuff. So we wanted to combine all of them, because at the time too, I was, you know, designing and decorating the home for them every year. So I'm like, well, let's just kind of intertwine them and start the YouTube channel. So when we started our YouTube channel, it was actually like all garden, home, and family combined, just as many videos of everything. And it was really growing slow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was such a grind too. I mean, I would spend hours and hours not only filming, but editing, and things were only getting a few views and there were hardly any subscribers. It was really tough.
Right. Yeah. And if one thing about making videos is if it's going to be a good video, it's not easy to make. I mean, Casey could, you know, spend and just, you know, sitting there focusing on the computer, working nonstop, it can take 8 hours 4 hours, 6 hours, depending on the length of the video.
The length of the video, the style of the video, and what we're actually showing.
Yep. And then it takes another, you know, with, again, our internet speed, but even any internet, it still takes a couple hours to upload.
If it's long, it can take up to 6 hours to upload the video.
Yep.
And then not only that, then it's also a thumbnail, it's a description, it's tags, it's monetization. And when you start your YouTube channel, you're not able to monetize. You can't even have a actual channel name for what's that called? Your URL.
Right, yeah.
So, yep. I mean, it's really, they make it really tough to start on YouTube. And I think that's to weed out the people that aren't serious.
Right.
You know, and we knew this is what we wanted to do. We knew that this is our goal, was to build the channel. So over the years, we found that the gardening videos did the best. So we gradually did less and less home and less personalized videos and did more of just our life in the garden, which our garden videos still are very personalized. If you compare our garden videos to other garden channel videos, I mean, we do have a lot of how-tos and stuff where it's just me, but with our channel, it's a lot of the family. And I think that's the aspect that people like. So we niched more into just the gardening. And then with the kids too, it's like, you know, they're a huge part of what we do, who we are, and they're with us all the time because they're little. So of course they're going to be in the videos, and it's so much fun to see them grow.
Yeah. And like, rewinding a little bit, there was evidence, and she, you know, Casey was still doing the, putting things on Facebook, putting the videos on Facebook, and things were really growing there. So there was enough evidence to say, you know what, this is something that a lot of people do like, and, you know, we can make this into a business. Because eventually, you know, what I listened to with these podcasts said that, you know, you can make enough money doing this stuff to where you could quit your job. You can replace the job that you're doing right now by just putting out this information and showing everything that you do.
Right. If you're willing to put in a lot of work in the beginning for no pay.
Right. Exactly. And still, you know, so fast forward to, you know, where we are now, you know, Casey's been consistently making videos. And then when Instagram,
Instagram's been out for a long time.
Yeah.
But we started focusing more on Instagram last January. And it's not just a post daily. We really focus there and give a lot of good information. We share our story, we share tips. I mean, it's not just like, oh, put a picture out and get a following. No, it's really hard work.
Right. Customer service.
That's the big thing there. So on Instagram, we get back to all the comments. We're still on Facebook. We still put posts there, but I had to choose Instagram or Facebook for taking time to get back to comments and messages. So we chose Instagram because that took off a lot faster. And because what we show is visual, and Instagram is more about the visual.
Right. And so, there are more business opportunities on Instagram. So, you know, you may have heard a term, influencer marketing, and that is actually a big thing on Instagram. So right now, because less and less people are watching TV, and people that do watch TV are DVRing or streaming, so they're not necessarily watching a lot of commercials. So ways for companies to get in front of consumers are to do it through Instagram. So if a garden hose company is on Instagram and they want to get their product out there in front of people, they want to find somebody that has a large audience on Instagram, because if they can put their product in someone like Casey's hands, they know that if Casey puts out a post, there's going to be a big number of people that see the post. So it is definitely a business in itself there. And so the two avenues that we've been using the most are YouTube and Instagram. And there are business opportunities throughout the last few years that have been coming up, and they continue to get bigger and bigger. So the direct message feature on Instagram is a huge thing, because businesses will reach out through that direct message. So
It's been really cool because we have a lot of companies that send us stuff, and we don't really just like post just to show something or to sell something. I really want to try something. If I like it, I share it. If I don't like something, I tell the company, and of course, they don't want me to post it then.
Right, exactly.
You know? Yep. So if I'm ever sharing a product or anything, it's because I actually have used it, I actually like it, or I really stand by the company. So that's what some things that like people really like about us on Instagram too, is because they know that we don't just share anything.
Right. And the cool thing is once the more followers that you get, the better business opportunities that you get. So you're going to have, and we do now have companies that are not only sending products, you know, where it used to be like, oh boy, a free product, this is great. But now they're sending products, but then they're also going to pay a certain amount, you know, every month,
like
or a certain amount per post, right, for you to show their product once a month or whatever the deal may end up being.
And now it's gotten to the point too where we turn a lot of products down because it's not worth our time to take a free product for a post or this or that if they just want a short-term relationship.
Right,
you know, we're looking for more long-term, so we're making more of an income because our ultimate goal here is to be full-time with this,
right,
and Jason too, so we can be at home. And this is quite a distance in the future.
Right.
You know, but I just feel like I have been working for like
But it's starting
years and not been paid.
Right. It is definitely something you are, like Casey said, you are going to put in the blood, sweat, and tears in the beginning. And it could take, depending on who you are, what you do, I mean, it can take up to 5 years before you start making money. This year, we are finally going to make what we would consider a decent amount
of
money, a small second income.
But the thing too is that it took us 5 years because we weren't super consistent.
Right, right.
Up until last year is when we became more consistent, I feel. And because we didn't niche down in the beginning. We had garden, home, and family in one place all over. Whereas, you know, if people like just homes, they didn't want to see all the gardening. If people like just gardening, they didn't want to see all the homes.
Right.
It just, you know, even though they both go together, when people follow people or subscribe to a channel, it's like they really just want to see one thing.
Right.
Even though we still combine it in some of our episodes, but we mainly focus more on the gardening because once we niched down last year, that's when everything grew. That's when we started with like the Instagram. I mean, we've been focusing on Instagram since last January, mainly. There's posts from before that, but it was so inconsistent and we didn't know what the heck we were doing.
Right.
And so last January, I focused on just gardening, and it's like, it went from, I remember I was only at like 1,800 followers, and now today we're at 43,100.
Right. And she's gaining 200 followers a day at this point. This is kind of the season, you know, where everybody's somewhat of a garden frenzy and getting excited for it. So those are two things that you'll hear a lot in this industry is niching down, which means just focus on one thing. Don't focus on gardens and homes. Yeah.
And remember too, it's not just about putting out a picture. You want to like also write a good description, like as if it's a blog post daily. So you're either giving something away about, you know, your life, what you're doing that day, personalized, or you give a good tip or a recipe or whatever it is you do, give your audience something, even if it's just a story of something or a life tale or whatever, something. You got to write something.
Right.
Good it's content.
Good content. Good information.
Yep. And then you also want to make sure to have the perfect hashtags based on what you're actually posting every single day. And you can have up to 30. And then you also want to keep up with stories. That tells Instagram that you're interacting with its app. But for us, it's like that's a way for people to get to know us even outside of the garden. Like we still share garden in our stories and what we're doing because we're always doing something gardening. But we're also sharing our life at home.
Right.
We're sharing, you know, our at-home schooling with the kids here in the morning. Or, you know, we're sharing us cooking in the kitchen or, you know, cleaning the house or doing stuff.
Right. Yeah, yep. You can kind of show whatever you want on the stories side of it. But Casey's found that the stories have been a huge, they've been getting lots and lots and lots more views. And it allows people to, you know, if you're just putting out, you're niching down, so you're just putting out information on gardening. But once you get a lot of people that are following what you do and they like who you are, they like your account, then they want to know more about you. They want to see another layer. So the stories, you're able to show who you really are, what you do throughout the whole day.
The stories are that extra layer.
Right. It really resonates well with people. So,
and I found too, like in whatever you do, you're going to find that just be you and that will be enough to grow a following. Just be you. And I feel like that's what makes our account grow, is because we've always been true to who we are. We've never changed. The only way we have changed is by niching, you know?
Right.
And we still do everything we always did. Jason's still a home builder.
Right.
But we just show more of the gardening.
Yes.
You know, actually this year, I'm no longer designing homes. I've decided to focus just in on the Lawrence Garden Farm. So on our online business, but also with continuing to grow our farm, because our ultimate mission is to turn the actual property into a business.
Right. And so once we get to that point where we are ready to kind of pull the trigger there, we've got the property built up to the way that we want it.
Yeah.
The other benefit of having a huge YouTube following and Instagram following would be able to just put the word out, hey, we're open to the public. We've got we've got this garden farm. This is what we're going to be doing here. And if you've got a large audience that you can share that with, it's kind of the same thing with, you know, marketing and commercials, and you can do it this route.
And there are future customers, because they'll have watched this property grow from just lawn to all these gardens, and they're going to want to come and see it because they feel it. They saw us work our buns off, you know, they saw it from stage one to stage 50, you know, they've been through the house through videos, and now they want to come and stay here for Airbnb, or they want to host their wedding here, or they just want to have an event here, a night in the garden here,
right?
Whatever. That's what we're building our property to be. And it'll take years because we love living right here,
but
we would literally probably just build right next
door. So it's kind of twofold with what we're doing. We've got the property that we're building up, which is great, because that gives us all of the content that we pretty much put on YouTube, because we're showing, you know, like building the greenhouse, building the new raised bed. So all of these additions that we're making to the property is
all the garden
great
projects.
Stuff for YouTube, and people love watching that. So it's kind of, you know, twofold with what we're doing there.
Yeah.
And so this year, you know, it is super exciting, because again, this is the first year where we are actually signing contracts with companies for, you know, they're gonna pay a certain amount per month for however many months for us to, you know, promote a certain product. So it's really, really cool for this stuff kind of starting to start. And that's one avenue with making an income with this. There are others. So YouTube does actually pay you a monthly amount based upon how many views that you have on your videos. So companies advertise on YouTube, like you've probably seen, before a video starts, there's a little advertisement that pops up, or in the middle. Those are companies that are paying YouTube to advertise on your channel. So if for us, with it being a gardening company, there might be gardening companies out there that want to put an ad on our channel. Well, any YouTube creator will get a cut of that. So the more views you have on your videos, the more you make there.
Yeah.
So with doing the whole online business part of it, there's going to be multiple things that add up to a total income to where we can live off of. We're going to have the brand deals like we have now. We're going to have the advertisement money from YouTube. One thing that we haven't done yet that we've talked about that I believe could, you know, can bring in, I think, a substantial amount would be courses, you know, putting a course out there
he always wants me to do courses.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get some feedback here, but just like, you know, putting out a detailed, this is how you do, because I know
I'm not passionate again, about it.
I know, but there are, it does work. I mean, I know that there are people out there who have put courses together, and it's a consistent form of income, because once you put a course out there, you know, you make it once, and then it continues to be sold.
But my,
that's enough said on
my
that.
Whole
Sorry.
Thing is just, I know Jason's course. And I know it makes money, but I'm looking more long-term. Like, we're starting to make money with what we're doing already, and I'm happy doing it. I don't want to bring in something that I'm not happy.
Yeah, no, I get it.
About.
We and don't
plus,
need
we're
to.
Also yep. building the garden farm to where it's like, that's going to be our ultimate end game.
Right. I think I'm saying it more for just like people that are out there. Like, if you're really good at doing X and you can make enough detailed videos on it and kind of create a little course, that would be an avenue for you to potentially make
yes.
you know money on
yes.
there as well.
That's correct,
you
know?
Yeah.
Jason.
Yep.
You
Thank
are
you.
Correct.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
ding. So
I'm still yeah. not on board.
So one other really cool thing that coincidentally happens, at least with what we're doing, this could be potential other avenues for things. We've had this dream now ever since we've been contacted once of potentially being on TV. So yeah. How many years ago now?
4 years ago. Probably when Sayla was almost a year. So yeah, 4 years ago almost. And we've been, well, long story short, we've been contacted 3 times now. And one of the companies, production companies, is a huge company. And that was just last year. We're off a contract, but we still can't mention their name. But they wanted to put us onto a really well-known network.
Yep, they produced the show Fixer Upper. Why okay. can't we? I mean, we okay. can say it. They found Chip and Joanna Gaines. They produce a lot of shows on HGTV. So they were the most recent one that yeah. we did actually sign a contract with, which that has since expired, so it doesn't matter anymore.
Right,
but
and the only reason why nothing has happened is because there was only one network out there looking for a gardening show, and they already casted that.
And that's the Magnolia show. Network. So that's yeah. we were contacted by 2 different production companies last summer.
Yeah, 2 big ones.
Yeah, 2 big ones.
Yeah.
And they were both looking for Magnolia because the new Magnolia channel that is supposed to be coming out this fall and it will take the place of the DIY channel, mm-hmm. was looking for a show that involved garden and family. And who knows, maybe if that's something that takes off there, they may want another show like that. But that was one thing that we never really thought about that could happen throughout this whole journey. But mm-hmm. because we've now been contacted multiple times, I kind of feel like at some point in the next few years, we will be contacted again. And who knows, maybe something could happen. Yeah. So that could be a whole nother avenue where all of a sudden we take a hard left
yeah.
and we're doing something else. And that really grows our audience, you know, yeah. 10, 20 times the pace that we're doing it right now.
Right.
And that opens up new doors.
Yeah. Cause like 4 years ago, we were actually pitched to HGTV as a home show,
a custom home builder.
Cause yeah. I was designing the homes. Jason's in the home industry and his dad and a family friend owned the business. So they kind of wanted to do a show on that. And then, cause we showed that a lot on our YouTube channel. But then when we started niching down more to gardening, then there was that individual
right.
that contacted us, and he was starting up his own little
right.
business.
Yep, and he had worked with people on HGTV previously.
Yeah. And then the 2 that contacted us this year were really huge, well-known
right.
companies, and we had to choose one or the other. It came
yep.
down to choosing, and I don't know. You know, I'm just kind of like, well, I'm still wondering, you know. I loved working with who we did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sometimes makes you wonder, like, you know, if you went the other route.
Yeah, or, well, you know what I'm going to do? And you're hearing it here for the first time. I am going to reach out to the other. Look at Casey. I don't know why she's. I'm going to reach
so
out.
Angry about this.
I'm going to reach out to the other production company, the one that we passed on because we went with the bigger one that we were more fans of. And I'm just going to say, hey, you know, just wanted
yeah.
to throw it out there and just kind of see if there's anything, any other, you know, potential whatever out there. So,
yeah.
okay,
I'm
going to do
not
that.
On board. board with that because I feel like that's almost like
the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So I'm the one that's actually working with these companies that are initially DMing Casey. I'm pretending to be Casey.
Right, but I'm putting out so much content right now, and I'm working like all the time. Plus, the kids come first, so. You know, I mean,
well, that's I'm more of the business type. I like doing that stuff. So I'm emailing them back. I'm pretending to be Casey. I'm using her email account, her DM, and I'm getting these deals done. So I'm going to reach out to this other production company, just putting it out there, saying it now. And at some point in a future podcast, I'll let you know because I'm sure they'll respond back with, you know, they'll probably say, oh, yeah, we'll keep you in mind. I'm sure that's what they'll say, but whatever. Okay, we'll move on. I'll keep you posted there if we get any word backs.
Jason. He's out. See, like for me, like I know that the idea of going on TV now was put into our head because we've been contacted 4 times in the past 4 years, pretty large companies. But for me, I mean, it's always exciting, but the process is so long.
Yeah.
But when it comes to it, if nothing ever happens, I'm fine with that.
I am too. But
I feel like we've got a good thing going right
now.
Like
we've
got momentum. We've got it all down. And we've got our mission. We've got our goals to where if something else happens in the mix, fine. But if it doesn't, like
that's fine too.
Zoned in.
I'm completely fine with that too. You know, it's just kind of throwing out a, hey, let's chuck this out there. We'll see if, if it hits water.
We'll see. So. Okay. Well, we'll keep you updated on the ballsy Jason.
Yeah. So anything else that you wanted to kind of share? That's a huge part of our lives. Casey spends, that's Casey's full-time job along with being a full-time stay-at-home mom.
I put in full-time hours with the kids and I put in full-time hours with this job. So it's like I'm constantly working.
Right. So that's why we wanted to share it and put it out there.
But that's why we like doing this together.
Right.
Because then we can still spend time together.
Yes.
And it's fun.
And we can talk about all aspects of our life, which is what we're doing today. So
yeah.
Hope you enjoyed this episode.
There's a lot mixed into and hopefully you learned something. And if you're a person that has thought about starting a channel or thought about starting a business profile on a social site, go do it now. Just know that it is work. It's not just posting or putting up a cute little video. It's work and it's consistency. And if you do that, you'll be successful.
Yep.
Have an awesome day.
All right. Take care, guys.